Welcome to the podcast of Eden Worship Center. We believe that God has perfectly revealed himself through Scripture alone, and that salvation comes by grace alone, from faith alone, in Christ alone, and that everything is for the glory of God alone. So as we study God's unchanging, inerrant word together, ask God to open your eyes. To open your eyes to see yourself and your own sin clearly. Open your eyes to see Jesus clearly. And pray that God would give you the grace to repent, to turn from your sin, and the faith to trust in Christ alone for your salvation. If you'd like more information, go to our website at edenworshipcenter.co.
Good morning, everybody. Would you please stand with me as we read from Hebrews 4, and we're going to be reading verses 8 through 13. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. So, as we've been going through Hebrews, we've learned last week that during creation, God rested on the seventh day to sit in his own glory. We know that God cannot glorify himself in anyone other than himself, but God lets us into his midst so that we get to spend our time in awe and worship of him. We learned last week as well that Moses himself could not lead the people into God's rest. Now, I pose a question. Does the promised land equal rest for the people of Israel? Well, reading in verse 8, for if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. We see that obviously not, because if there was rest from God, then God would not have spoken of someone else in the future on another day who would bring rest to us, who is Jesus. Joshua was not able to give them rest because he was not the one in power able to give it to them. The people of Israel did not have rest just because they finally entered the promised land, which Moses and the fathers of Israel did not get to enter. If you start at the end of Exodus and continue into Joshua, you see, yes, the people did enter the promised land, and they did split it up according to what God said to them. But the one thing you do not see a whole lot of is God's people obeying him. Right off the bat, you see that the sons of Israel did not circumcise their sons as accordance to God's covenant with Abraham. And so they immediately did that because they disobeyed. And also, another example of their disobedience, you see God had told them when they go and fight in the Battle of Jericho that all of the gold they get is supposed to go into the tabernacle for the tabernacle. But one man stole gold from the city of Jericho and put it in his own tent, which honestly, I don't know what you're going to do with gold in the desert, but it's whatever. So, and we see at the end of Joshua and into Judges, the Israelites, because of the rebellion, get put underneath another tribe and are forced to serve them, and they never got to enter God's rest. Well, we now know Joshua did not give them rest, and he could not give them rest. Now, I pose another question, which we should ask ourselves: who can give us rest? Now, this is definitely a Sunday school answer time where everybody says, it's Jesus. But how does Jesus do it? Jesus is our bridge into that rest where we will dwell with God forever in heaven. Because of Jesus, we can now do what no one in the Old Testament could. we get to come freely into the presence of God forever, and all we have to do is believe. We have to believe that Jesus died and is Lord. Sounds like a pretty good deal. All right, let's continue into verse 9 and 10. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God, for whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. So let's consider, what is Sabbath rest? So I pose another question. Why did the people in the Old Testament rest? Well, the people in the Old Testament, they practiced Shabbat or Sabbath as a sign of reverence to God. It was sort of a tithe for them, not with money, but a tithe as to understand God has given me something. God is specifically giving them time here. And so they give a little bit of that time back to God in his presence in worship of him. It's also a great symbolism of us when we are in heaven with God, worshiping him always for the rest of eternity, which is awesome. In verse 9, it also says that we are to rest as God rested from his works. So why shouldn't we? We are to rest from the distractions of life that could inhibit us from trying to be in God's rest and actively pursuing it. Now, does this mean that we don't work? Well, this doesn't mean you shouldn't work, but the people in Israel took this principle so far as to count the number of steps they would take in a day, which is probably a little too far, and if they went over the number of steps they should take, it was considered work, which, and this, in my opinion, is not exactly what I think we should worry about, but in verse 11 it says, "Let us therefore strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience." We need to work hard to rest. This is one of our key points of today, and it's one of our fill-in-the-blanks. It is, we need to work hard to rest. If our end goal is to one day be in heaven and rest forever with God, then we need to be actively pursuing the life that God wants us to live, which is to be modeled after Christ Jesus and in communion with him. When trying to live your life, it is important to take time for personal Bible reading and personal prayer. We should build our lives around those two things. Although, during the time we currently live in, the 21st century, and this time of pandemic, there's many distractions and there's very many scary distractions that can be inhibiting us from getting to this. But taking this time and pouring into the scriptures is the best thing you can do to be keeping yourself from worrying about these things and know what God has planned for your life and what God's character is. James 2:17 says, "So also by faith itself, if it does not have works, is dead." To help us understand the work we do and the finished work of Christ, let us look at a couple important doctrines. The first doctrine is the finished work of the cross. Jesus accomplished our salvation completely, and we need not worry for the uncertainty of our salvation, because you cannot gain salvation with works, but only by faith can you be saved. But if you have faith without works, your faith might as well be dead. Because of our hearts, as a reaction to our faith, a wellspring of gratitude forms within us and action will come. Our second doctrine we're going to be looking at is the perseverance of the saints. This is actually one of the five key beliefs of salvation held by Reformed Protestants, which is us. And the idea suggests that because of your rebirth and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, that you will do good works, not for selfish gain, but because of the new hearts you have now obtained, you will do them for God. So, Let us strive to be the people who actually do carry out these good works. Even if we do have good works, we should never forget that our salvation is held by our faith in God, not in these works. Because unfortunately, we are beyond a doubt going to fail at doing all good works. So we can never earn a right standing with God. 1 Peter 1:5 says, "Who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." This is a affirmation of our faith is what brings our salvation to us. Continuing into verse 12, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing it to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." I pose another question. How do I know if I'm in, if I have my salvation? Well, according to this verse, it says, God's word alone tells me if I'm in or not. Depending on what God's word says about salvation is what should guide me to the certainty in my salvation. Romans 8:29-30 says, "For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called, and those who he called, he also justified, and those who he justified, he also glorified." You can see the assurance in this verse to show that if you have accepted Jesus, that we will be changed into a better person, the person that God wants us to be. We will be conformed to the image of Jesus. This idea is the idea of the perseverance of the saints. And when he does change us to who he wants us to be, we will be justified in him. This has not come through my feelings. It's not through my ability to keep the law. It is not in my works, but it is through faith alone that I have salvation. Let's continue into verse 13. "And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom he must give an account." I'm not fooling God. God sees absolutely everything I see and whatever I think, because he is the one who created me. And listen to these harsh words he used in verse 13. "You should feel naked and exposed, completely unhidden." Because you are completely unhidden from God, you should openly express your sin to him. Because it's not because he doesn't know, it's because he wants you to tell him and ask him for forgiveness and repent. So my next point is, admit and repent to God. When you admit your sin to God, you should also be actively working to turn away from that sin and do it no more. Here's a key point for today. The biblical language for walking out repentance is to put sin to death. Again, it is the biblical language for walking out repentance is to put sin to death. Confess to one another. Walk in accountability with one another. We are not only to encourage one another, but correct. James 5:16 says, "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed." We are not called to battle this walk out on our own. We are also to walk with others of the faith, and especially with Christ Jesus. A good step for anyone is to get an accountability partner or partners to help you know what your sin is and how you can turn away from it. So one of our key points for today, another one is, the best way to get dark sin out of your life is to formally bring it into the light. Again, the best way to get dark sin out of your life is to formally bring it into the light. Proverbs 27:5 says, "Better is an open rebuke than a hidden love." Sometimes we need to love one another enough to have the hard conversations. Now, just a recap of what we've gone over today. Our first one is going to be, let us strive to enter the rest that which God has so generously provided to us through his Son, Jesus Christ, and that he will be keeping for us to the end of our days. Our second point we're going to touch on is, let us not get distracted by things of this world and caught up in our sin. And we should not try to hide it from other people, but confess it to them. Be connected to your brothers and sisters in confession of sin. This will help you have an open heart to what sin is to you, and your brothers and sisters can help you find ways to deal with and turn away from sin. Another good thing to be doing is be connected in the life of your church. Be coming here consistently. Be involved with the families and have relationships with the families at this church. Take part in the ministry of this church, whether it's children ministry or on the worship team. Volunteer your time here. And the most important point is, be connected to God and his word. This is where we find Sabbath rest in Christ through the salvation he has prepared for us. Let us pray. God, I pray that you would humble us in your word. I pray that you would help us to trust you as we grow throughout our weeks. I pray that you would lay these words on our heart, and you would make us actively pursue going into your rest. You would cause a change in our hearts, God, and cause these good works to come out of us. I pray that you would bless the people in this church and help us to ponder on these things. Help us to understand what the perseverance of the saints is and to live that out in our lives. And I pray that you would just bless everyone as they're going home, and as they are at home. I pray that you would just protect us and keep us. Amen. So, we have a couple family and discussion prayer questions today. As I read them, feel free to pause after each one that I say. So the first one is, what does it mean to rest in Christ? Or to enter God's rest? Again, it is, what does it mean to rest in Christ or enter God's rest? Our second one is, how do we work hard to find our rest in God? How do we work hard to find our rest in God? Our third one is going to be, why do we have such a hard time resting in God? Again, it is, why do we have such a hard time resting in God? And our last is a prayer. Ask God to help us trust in him and live more faithfully to him. Again, it is, pray and ask God to help us trust in him and live more faithfully to him.